Welcome to Crossbody of Work. My name is Evan.
I am Javier.
This week we start a special two-part series on a man of many last names. One first name, many last names.
Yeah, there's Sid the Dude, Sid Vicious, Psycho Sid, Sid Justice, Sid... Yeah.
Sid Steele at one point.
Sid Steele, it's probably Sid Mountain, Sid Boulder, Sid Blonde Dude with the perm, Sid 6'9" monster with big ass shoulders, Sid broken leg, Sid not Sid Sweeney.
I do want to tell you about a name that he did take, and it's a name that some other wrestlers in the Continental Wrestling Association in Memphis also took. But he at one point manned the gimmick of Lord Humongous. There was a character in CWA called Lord Humongous, and Sid was the fourth iteration of Sid Humongous. It's just a big fucking heel.
This episode doesn't need to go any further. I don't know what more we can tell these people.
A 1 minute episode. We look at a wrestler's career through five of their most important matches. Sid, for a man who has, would we say, limited wrestling ability?
I would say for a wrestler who was as limited.
Yeah. He's good at what he's. Yeah.
Overall. Yeah. He might be the wrestler that has done the most with the least in the history of this business.
Great body guy. A lot of height. Some good intensity and just a lot else. He gets two parts because Sid has been around forever. It allows us to dive into the fact that he kept bouncing between WWF and WCW, as well as look at some like late era WCW stuff, which is going to be weird. But we have to start at the beginning. He entered wrestling, Mr. Sid Udy, because that is his actual name. He is a Sid, but you know people aren't going to be that scared of Sid Udy, even if he is 6'9". He entered the sport after an encounter with the Poffo brothers, Randy Savage and Lanny Poffo. He then would go to CWA at one point, becoming Lord Humongous, of course. But his first big break is in 1989, where he signed with WCW. He made his televised debut by defeating Dwayne Bruce on June 17, 1989, and originally was going to be a singles wrestler, but they instead paired him with Dan Spivey to form the Skyscrapers. That's where our first match takes us to. It's Halloween Havoc 1989, the first ever Halloween Havoc, and it's the Skyscrapers versus some team you may have heard of before, the Road Warriors.
You know, before we get into this and really talk about just the excellent bell-to-bell in-ring work that this match provided us with, we got to talk about the Skyscrapers. Because honestly, the thing that is so cool, I think, about the Skyscrapers, which you will not hear me ever say again, is just I just love the concept of two big guys together. I always think that's a cool thing. Like, the Brothers of Destruction, character aside, that was just fucking cool. Just two, really I like cool. seeing two tall dudes together. You know, it's cool when there's a big and a little, or it's two regular-sized guys, or two small guys like London and Kendrick. Like, that's fine. We don't have enough big people together.
Yeah.
We don't. Give me, like, fucking Omos and the Great Khali. Just give them a run, you know? Fucking, that would obviously it's an example.
That would break the internet. The internet wouldn't be able to handle that.
I just loved two big guys together.
I also loved it when it was that, like, when teams do that in basketball. They're like, our best players are our power forward and our center. Fuck it. They're like, except for if you're the Minnesota Timberwolves, because that does not work. What are you doing with Rudy Gobert and Cat? It's a bad idea. But, like, Duncan and Robinson.
Neither of them is their best player, you know?
That's true. Anthony Edwards supremacy. The Skyscrapers, tall guys, you know? Sid, like I said, build at 6'9". Dan Spivey, build at 6'8". That's some tall dudes right there.
You know, let's just think about this. If you were to pair two big dudes, and I'm going to put the height at like over like 6'7" and up. Let's go 6'7" and up. Let's just stick to WWE, NXT, all that stuff, just because, like, AEW, let's be honest, there's like two guys. who would you want? And why is it Damian Priest and like Babatunde?
I genuinely think, and this might be a minority opinion, I think Braun Strowman should be a tag guy almost permanently. I think he works best as a tag
Ricochet
guy.
Have been going, I've actually liked that pairing a lot.
I think Braun's limitations in terms of what they want to do to protect the character they've made for him work better as part of a team. It works really well with a little guy because he's obviously like the big muscle. But I think doing a modern skyscrapers with him and Babatunde or whatever, like, sure, why not? Like, dive into that.
Oh, my God.
I
Braun and Amos.
Bromos. Sure.
Think it's a bad idea. Let's go. No, I fucks with it. No, see, I just like it. I don't know. Damian Priest, give me for some reason, Damian Priest is a guy I keep thinking of, even though I feel like he should definitely just be by himself because he's really good. And like, I guess they tried it for a little bit with Sheamus and Drew McIntyre in the last, you know, couple months or whatever.
I was going to say, just put Priest and Dijak together.
Oh, my God. Yes. Give me Dijak. Give me Dijak and Priest. Give me Dijak and Braun. Give me Dijak and give me something. Give me big dudes together.
The only problem is that it will inevitably lead to just a retread of many feuds of, ha ha, you're small, Chad Gable, or whoever the person that they're going, you're smaller than me, Montez Ford and Angelo. You know what I mean? Like, it'll just be the same retread because WWE doesn't like to get creative with the shit.
The worst part is, like, you know, they just won't be booked as baby faces ever. They'll just be heels the entire time.
You can have tall people be baby faces.
You know what? And I think that's bullshit because Drew McIntyre is like 6'6", and that brother's really fucking good at being a baby face. You know,
he is really good.
Like, it's possible.
We got the Road Warriors in this match as well. Obviously, legendary tag team being led out by Paul Ellering. They emerge from the ground, which is always fun. They do not the way Rey Mysterio does it, where you pop out, but like they rise like the Brood from the ground in Halloween Havoc.
What a rush!
Well done. This match is not very good in terms of the in-ring
action. This match was a shit. Honestly, I can't lie to the people. They're here. Honestly, if you just want to skip my shit talking for the next 5 minutes, I don't even judge you. I don't blame you. Just do it. May as well. But honestly, we're just gonna go into it. This match was the drizzling shits.
If I had to go through and in my notes delete the words clothesline and shoulder block, there would be very little
bullet
left.
Points. I'd have two bullet points.
You have two for the entire match.
I would if I had to do that.
Jesus, I was like, wow, you really succinctly summarized this match, which is, I mean, shoulder block and clothesline. It's the big thing.
There's like a helicopter slam at one point there, and there's like a fucking suplex, and that's all I've got. if you take those out.
I will say the helicopter powerbomb by Sid Vicious to Hawk was really cool.
And, you know, so it's a move that I don't understand why more strong people don't use.
Yeah.
Braun Strowman, you're a big guy.
Spivey then hits him with a sidewalk slam 2 count. This is about 7 minutes into the match because, all we're really skipping over is no selling clotheslines and shoulder blocks.
Also, has anything been has there been many weirder pairings in the skyscrapers with Teddy Long? I thought it was Slick at first, by the way.
No, it's Teddy Long is their manager.
It's Teddy. The video's kind of grainy, kind of looks like Slick. What do you want me to do?
I thought it was interesting. I just love Teddy Long as a manager. I thought Teddy Long's a great manager.
I've known Teddy Long as a manager one time in my life, and it was when he was with Rodney Mack and Mark Henry. Right when I started watching wrestling.
Shout out to a Twitter account that I've seen that's been posting recently, and it's WWE Gimmicks That Just Didn't Work, because they talked about...
Oh, I know them.
They talked about Thuggin' and Buggin' Enterprises, which was Teddy Long with Mark Henry and Rodney Mack.
I like that pairing, though.
Yeah. Today they were talking about Jesus, a.k.a. Carlito's bodyguard.
Oh, not the man that stabbed Juan Cena.
The man who stabbed John Cena. So, yeah, big, awesome powerbomb there from Vicious to Hawk, and then the sidewalk slam by Spivey, like I said. There's a suplex by Spivey. There's a two count. The double team Hawk in the corner. A lot of
Sid
other
has the things. Worst short arm clothesline I have ever seen in my life. Evan, we've had an episode covering Kelly. We've had an episode covering just some of the worst in-ring wrestlers in the history of this business that you can think of. Whether they were a point of focus in our episode or were just against the person that we were covering. We have covered some awful, awful matches that had awful, awful moves. And this match somehow managed to have like three in the top five.
Yeah, it's not. It's
how
not
do you
good.
Fuck up a short arm clothesline?
I don't know. I genuinely
Part
do
of me
not
wants
know.
To recommend this to people just so they could see how bad it was.
This
you know,
is this
Hawk
week is
going to
be
hell.
One of the toughest wrecks probably ever.
Yeah, because I think I can pull one out.
I think I know which one it is. But I still think
the last one. I can tell you that. That last match that we'll get to it. But the last match that we cover on this podcast, on this episode, quite literally might be the biggest waste of 20 minutes I have ever had in my life.
It is only 10 minutes long.
And that is that's the worst part about it. There's a test of strength between Sid and Hawk. And for almost the entirety of the second half of this match is basically just the skyscrapers putting Hawk in hell, which I just now realized is a terrible thing to say. Rest in peace, Hawk. But, you know, it's just he's just they just wear him down. It's the classic cutting the ring in half thing where the heels work over the baby faces. And Hawk was the one that they did. The Road Warriors, by the way, this is like, I think this might be like peak physique Road Warriors because holy fucking shit, their arms.
Yeah, they're gigantic.
Massive.
To put us out of our misery here, let's talk about the finish. There was a hot tag to Animal after Hawk was being worked over for a while. It involves a drop kick and some shoulder blocks. Animal with a power slam to Sid. Teddy stops Paul Ellering from getting in the ring. And then they hit Ellering with what looks like a comical like key to the city. I don't know why they have a big key. But
Teddy Long just has a key, man. He's got the key to victory.
Teddy tosses it to Spivey, who hits Hawk with it, and then Animal with it. So obviously DQ for the Road Warriors to win. There's a beatdown by the Skyscrapers after the match. Hawk goes up and top and clothesline. Spivey gets the key and clears house with it. Unfortunately, Sid's role in the Skyscrapers would be short-lived. He was replaced in the Skyscrapers after having a broken rib and puncturing a lung during a match with one of our favorite tag teams, the Steiner Brothers, at the November 1989 Clash of the Champions 9. You know who replaced him in the Skyscrapers, of course?
Do I? I don't...
Oh, you do? Just a young guy by the name of Mean Mark Callis. You might have heard of him before. Yeah, once Sid was out of the Skyscrapers, it became Dan Spivey and Mean Mark Callis, a.k.a. The Undertaker.
How is Dan Spivey the third worst member of a two-man tag team?
That is a challenge. So, like I said, Sid was out, punctured his lung. After his recovery, he came back on the May 11th, 1990 edition of NWA Power Hour as the newest member of the Four Horsemen. He was billed by the ring announcers as being from wherever he damn well pleases, and was the muscle of the group, and you're going to shit your pants when I tell you the rest of the sentence. He was the muscle of the group and initially brought in to counteract the strength of RoboCop at Capital Combat. Because remember, RoboCop was friends with Sting for a little bit? For those who don't care. Since we're not a video podcast, for those who don't know, Javier has just fucking left the screen. He can still hear me because his AirPods are still in, but he's just left for a little bit.
What? He did what?
He was their answer to RoboCop.
I'm sorry. Maybe I'm dating myself as far as how young I am or whatever. When you say RoboCop, do you mean like the fucking movie?
Oh, did you not know that WCW brought in RoboCop at one point? Like they
WCW
had a guy.
WCW brought in RoboCop. Like yes. The actor who played the robot cop in the movie.
I don't know if it was the actual actor who did, but RoboCop definitely appeared during a match.
Turner Sport, or Turner, we got to talk, because what the fuck are we doing? How did you guys go out of business?
I don't know, but we should definitely cover the RoboCop appearance at some point.
What the fuck?
Sid, like I said, was the muscle of the Four Horsemen, and eventually he got like his first big world championship opportunity at Halloween Havoc against Sting. So we're at Halloween Havoc.
This is a year later.
Like 1 year later from being in the Skyscrapers match, he is challenging for the WCW championship against Sting. What'd you think of the match?
You know, after you just explained all of that, he gets taken out of his tag team with Dan Spivey because he's got a punctured lung because he broke a rib.
Yep.
And somehow gets thrown into a way better situation. If I'm Dan Spivey, I'm pissed, first off. This motherfucker pops a lung. And you're telling me he not only gets to join the Horsemen, but he gets a title shot against Sting a year later from the drizzling shits match that we had against the Road Warriors? What is happening right now?
Weird shit is what is happening right now. This match, we're going to get to it. One of the worst finishes I've ever seen.
I have no words. You had to leave a little note for me to make sure that yes. I continued watching through to the end. And here is me dropping a note for anyone that decides they want to watch this match for whatever reason this week, that there is more to it at the end.
Yes.
There's a finish. Keep watching.
JR and Paul E are on commentary about 11 years early from when they are the greatest commentary duo. And it's kind of funny because they both sound a little different than normal.
They're just younger.
Like, yeah, they're just younger. And it's nice. I'm like, oh shit. I'm like, that's Jim Ross and Paulie Dangerous, the young commentary for Halloween Havoc. I like this. Sting looks like $1 million. Sting looks great.
He is over as a motherfucker.
Super over. I also will say Sid looks really good here in terms of like physical appearance. Like Sid is jacked to the gills at this.
Yeah, and he's oiled up in just the right way.
I was gonna say he looks like he should be world champion for like 4 years during the 80s. Like from like 79 to 83, he should be headlining Madison Square Garden and just whooping fools.
He should be the guy that somehow cheats Hogan out of the title for 3 years.
Like, oh, that sounds nice.
But no, the thing here that really shocked me is, one, just how much he dwarfs Sting.
Yeah.
He makes Sting look like a fucking normal human being, and Sting is a big boy.
But Sid's the bigger boy.
And two, Sting is fucking over. You know, we did a Sting three-parter on this podcast, and it surprised me just how, like, obviously I'm expecting Sting to be over. He was the biggest babyface WCW had for a very long time. But it's insane to me how over this guy is in 90. Especially considering, you know, they said here, like, his first match back from injury was when he took the title from Flair. And then he's like, and now he's just on a mega run of death here going on as a babyface. Like, this is just fucking insane. Also, he's wearing these pink pants. And I'm like, this might be my favorite ring gear anyone's ever had. Like, he is everything about Sting right now. Like, let that version of Sting main event every WrestleMania. Just all of them.
And yet, Sting has no WrestleMania main events to his name, while Sid has two. But we'll get to those.
Oh, yeah, he does have two. He
does have two. The best moments in this match, in terms of actual in-ring stuff, Sting's trying a lot. But Sid does some good work. At one point, he has a good headlock takedown and kips up out of a head scissors on the ground, which I thought was, I'm like, oh, that's a good little bit.
Yeah.
And a good power slam by Sid. Sid also loves the worst pin attempts you've ever seen.
Oh my.
Like, no cover. He doesn't actually like put his body on the other person. He likes to like you're doing CPR, like the two hands on the chest.
Yeah.
He likes that one. Or the like one arm over. Like he's leaning and telling you a cool conversation. No, like he doesn't pin people properly. He doesn't hook legs.
You know who would hate this version of Sid? Jesse the Body Ventura. This man was all about critiquing people's covers.
That's true.
Also, he an would. Older JR would be like, you gotta hook the leg. All this other stuff. At one point here, you know, we get a Sid clothesline for a near fall, and then just quite frankly, one of the worst wrestling moves ever to be put into existence. And I'm really upset that Sid adopted it. The trapezius hold, where he just kind of claws down on the man's on traps. Evan, have you ever had your traps like fucked with, like right here?
I can't say I've had my traps fucked with.
It doesn't, like someone just like, you know, like that, just kind of like squishes
the Vulcan nerve pinch. You got to remember, I'm a loser, so I know Star Trek things.
I don't know. I've never watched the Star of Trek.
It's where Spock could take people down without actually being violent. He would just pinch them right up here, and there was a nerve there, and it would just shut them down.
Yeah, sure, man. Have you ever had that happen to you?
No. No one's ever Vulcan nerve pinched me before.
You know, it kind of hurts. It doesn't hurt enough for me to be like, oh, my God, I'm going to tap out. You know, so what are we doing here, guys? Why are we putting it? I know it's to wear him down, but at the same time, Sid's thing is like a power bomb. And yeah. You know what isn't affected in a power bomb, Evan?
Your trapezius. Sting with some strikes and face busters. Sid with a boot to a running sting. They're wrestling up the ramp a little bit. Sid hits some right hands. Weird clothesline. Sid goes back to the ring and Sting just leaps over the top rope with a clothesline from the ramp. Love that for Sting. Love that energy.
The horsemen are here.
So Arn and Flair are here, and they're distracting the ref. And then it makes the guys wrestle out into the crowd. So Sid and Sting are kind of wrestling on the crowd. The camera's focused on Arn and Rick near the ring, talking to the ref. All of a sudden, Sid comes back in the ring with Sting, reverses a scoop slam into a pin, 1-2-3, wins the title. Everyone's like, oh my God. Sid just pinned Sting. This is crazy. There's fireworks. There's balloons. And then Sting comes in and is like, hey, that wasn't me. Did you pick that up from watching? Did you pick up that's what happened?
I mean, I picked it up as I was watching Sting come back out, but I didn't realize it as it happened originally. When Sid made the cover, I didn't realize that there was a switch.
Yeah, because I was doing some research. The camera shots missed it. There's a face-to-face of the two Stings right after the bell, which camera should have shown to be like, look, it's clearly not the right Sting, but they didn't. Instead, it just looks like Sting gets pinned, leaves, comes back in, demands the match restarts, and does a Stinger splash roll up and wins the match. So it was not Sting who he pinned. Do you know who he pinned?
Was it Sexy Barry?
It was Sexy Barry Windham. The other member of the Four Horsemen had dressed up in his best Sting cosplay and got pinned by Sid. It was a horseman ploy. Like I said, the camera does no help here. You do not see the two Stings. It's one of the worst finishes I've ever seen.
It's fucking ridiculous is what it is. It's so stupid.
On that stupid note, we're going to take our first break. When we get back, Sid's going to the WWF. Back from the break, the Horsemen would amicably be split in 1991, during which Sid decided to negotiate with WWF. WCW had like a huge offer for a contract. They even promised a world title run, but Sid decided to leave WCW before departing. He had a short feud with El Gigante. You know him, Giant Gonzalez.
Yeah.
And ended with a loss of the Giant Super Brawl 1. Sid Justice vignette started airing around June of 1991. But then he got injured and came back at the Royal Rumble. And this is the 92 Rumble, of course, the one for the vacant WWF Championship. He was entered 29th and was among the final four with Ric Flair, Randy Savage, and Hogan. He eliminated Savage and then Hogan, leaving it just up to him and Flair. And of course, Hogan, being a heel, helped pull Sid out of the ring. It was very heel behavior, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, well, okay, you say helped pull him out. The whole reason Sid got eliminated was because Hogan held his hand.
Exactly.
And started pulling him out, and then that allowed Flair to come over and dump him.
Yeah.
It's none of this happens without Hogan. Like, this is just, it's the dumbest thing in the world. And the worst part about all of this is that it led to a feud that main evented with no title.
So, yeah, the next week, President Jack Tunney held a press conference to say who would face Flair for the WWF Championship at WrestleMania 8. Tunney was about to announce the number one contender. Sid stood up as if he was about to get his name called, and then he said Hulk Hogan, and Sid was furious and said, no, this is bogus. Sid later issued an apology to Hogan. Hogan accepted. They teamed up to face The Undertaker and Flair on Saturday night's main event 30. During the match, Sid double clotheslined Hogan and Undertaker and Flair. Hogan reached to Sid for a tag, and Sid said, fuck you, Hogan. And this led to Flair facing Randy Savage for the WWF title, but like you said, not in the main event. Instead, the main event, which we're covering now, is Sid versus Hulk Hogan, not for a title, but because Hulk Hogan needs to be in the main event.
You know what the worst part about this is? If they just fucking kept things at what they were, which was Hogan versus Flair for the title,
yeah,
which I still have no fucking idea why they didn't go with that. We could have had this. It probably would have been like Sid against Savage or some shit.
Yeah.
And that would have been the match I recommend this week, because that there's no way that match is anything other than okay at worst. Yeah. Instead, I would fucking watch Hulk Hogan.
How would you describe this match, Javier?
Literally any Hulk Hogan match ever.
Yeah. Sid attacks Hogan before he can finish his entrance, which is a babyface maneuver in my books. I feel like we haven't talked about Hulk Hogan on this podcast for a long time for good reason.
Fuck Hulk Hogan.
There it is. I was just waiting for it. That's the stance of this podcast. Hulk Hogan sucks.
Yeah.
All right.
The wrestler, Terry Bollea, like, Hogan knows best. The man has never done anything good that I approve of other than the one match against The Rock. That is it. And the reason why that match was anything is because of the crowd, not even the wrestlers.
Good job, Canada. Hogan keeps knocking Sid off the apron while, for some reason, Hogan's music inexplicably keeps playing. Like they have to wait till he does the shirt rip. So he knocks Sid to the outside, keeps punching him, and does the shirt rip. And I'm like, okay, now we can turn his music off. Sid takes a break. Sid then wants a test of strength. And everything is so hammy that Hulk Hogan does. He, and this is not exaggeration, is the worst actor I've ever seen in wrestling. He has some of the worst facial expressions I've ever seen, because he has one facial expression and it's anguish.
He has two. To give Hogan the literal worst piece of credit I could possibly give him, he has two facial expressions. He does the anguish one, which is just wincing. Like very dramatic wincing, and then he's got the hulking up face, which he did. Oh, it's just like a duck face. It's the
He's just got the duck lips. Sid wins the test of strength. He brings Hogan to his knees once after forever. Hogan gets to his feet, but Sid just backs him into the corner. Hogan with a clothesline in the corner. Harvey Whippleman, who is Sid's manager, with the distraction. Sid just hits a choke slam. I was like, I didn't know you had that in your arsenal. That's really good.
Apparently, Sid added a choke slam to his bag. I have no idea when.
Sid then does, for some reason, the like on one knee Jimmy Snuka taunt, which I don't know why that's in his bag either. Then he goes to the corner and cuts a promo.
Yeah, like a little, I don't understand what's happening.
Did you catch what he said?
No.
Oh, he said, do unto man as he would do unto you, but do it first.
Anyways, Sid starts targeting the lower back. He boots Hogan out of the ring.
He hits him with a doctor's bag.
Yeah, he gets a doctor's bag, which is like, it's like a very old-timey, dramatic, like, doctor's bag, like that freaking blue one that honestly just kind of looks like an inverted shower cap. And he hits him with it. And while ref is distracted, like, while the ref is distracted by Harvey Whippleman, I guess, he then puts on a trap hold. Hogan starts passing out from the trap hold. They do the arm raise things.
And, of course, in the third arm raise, Hogan powers up. Sidewalk slammed by Sid. Sid wants powerbomb. He gets him, but Hogan fully sandbags him on the powerbomb attempt.
Hogan hulks up immediately.
Yeah.
Doesn't even give Sid the chance to cover him. Actually, no, he does. He does cover him, doesn't he?
Yeah, but then he wants a second powerbomb, and then he hulks up out of that.
Yeah.
We run Sid in the turnbuckles. Big boot. Sid's still standing. We get a scoop slam. Leg drop. And you know the story as to what was supposed to happen here, right?
Yeah, well, I realized it after the fact, but in the heat of the moment, when Sid kicks out, I was like, what the fuck?
So, Papa Shango, a.k.a. the Godfather, a.k.a.
Kama Mustafa,
a.k.a. the Good Father, was supposed to come out and cause a DQ. He missed his cue in the main event of WrestleMania. Because of that, and because Hogan was not supposed to win clean, a couple of things happen all at the same time here. Harvey Whippleman jumps into the ring because he realizes that Papa Shango is nowhere to be found because he wants to cause the DQ himself. Great heads-up play by Harvey Whippleman. But also because he knows it's not supposed to end on a pinfall, Sid kicks out of the leg drop, which is like slapping God in the face in the early 90s.
Sure, like, man.
Just don't do it.
Sure, man. I just wrote little guy causes a DQ. I know it's Harvey Whippleman. I don't know why I called. I think I was so upset in the moment that I was like, fuck Harvey Whippleman, too. Papa Shango does eventually come out with that stupid look on his face and that stupid little
so
run.
Bashful.
And then the Ultimate Warrior comes out.
Yes, because a little bit more context. Sid and Shango, they attack Hogan. They tie him into the ropes. Ultimate Warrior gets the big save. Clothesline Shango to the ring. Sid gets a chair shot in on Warrior, but he's just too strong and just stops him. The thing that I don't fully understand is commentary is like, oh, and you know, the match was ended due to a disqualification because of the interference of Papa Shango. What? Papa Shango was the fourth man in at earliest here. Like, Harvey Whippleman caused a DQ, if anything, but they're like, no, it was Papa Shango.
This, it's just, it's a really, it's just bad. It's everything about this all around. The match was bad. Hulk Hogan is bad. The only person that ends up looking any good out of this is Sid somehow. Because he gets a kick out of the leg drop. Shout out to Sid.
It has been confirmed in the years since that Sid failed a drug test prior to this match. He was allowed to do the match and then they went on the European tour. After the tour, he was told he's going to serve as a suspension, which instead led to Sid quitting and pursuing a career in what sport do you think he wanted to pursue a career in?
Okay, so it was a sport.
It's a sport.
How old would he have been at this point?
This is in 1992, so he would have been 32.
30? Damn. See. Baseball.
You're fucking close. Softball.
Ah.
He was going to start a feud with the Ultimate Warrior, the story being that he was mad that Warrior Sucker is known as in his business at WrestleMania 8. And then Sid was on the European tour. He came back. He did two house shows with Warrior, winning twice by DQ. And then after wrestling Warrior in Boston on April 26, Sid quit the company due to disagreements with Warrior and WWF management in particular about the outcome of his match with him. And that led to Sid being replaced with Papa Shango in the feud. So instead, Papa Shango feuded with Ultimate Warrior.
That was the vomit one, isn't it?
Yeah, it was not good. And so what does Sid do? He goes back to WCW and makes a tag team. And that tag team is the Masters of the Powerbomb, him and Vader. They are matched up against Sting and Davey Boy Smith at Beach Blast 93 in our next match.
Superpowers.
The Superpowers, quite the name for Sting and Checks Notes, the British Bulldog.
I had a question. Was this part of that Shockmaster feud?
I think so. I think the Shockmaster comes after this.
Because I was thinking, the only time I ever saw all four of these people involved together was that Shockmaster segment.
I think you're right. I think the Shockmaster is part of this long-running feud. It has, yeah. Because, yeah, Fall Brawl would have come after Beach Blast. So, yeah, this leads into...
There it is. Look at this. Look at me.
The debut of Fred Ottman.
Sid looks fucking huge. This is the biggest he looks to me throughout any of these matches, is right here.
This match... Main events Beach Blast over Ric Flair versus Barry Windham for the NWA title.
which is disrespectful to Sexy Barry, by the way.
Very disrespectful. But also,
Barry Windham was a part of the Horsemen. Like, that has some actual story behind it.
Vader is the WCW champion at this point. And then you're right. Oh. Sid is gigantic.
Yeah, Sid's fucking huge. I don't know what he's on or what he's doing, but I need him to drop the shoulder workout. Because I, too, want to get boulders the size of Colorado.
Sid as a fitness influencer, just screaming at you in the camera?
Well, the problem with Sid is that he can't do a leg day. So,
what did you think of the actual match?
I mean, I guess this is the one that I have to recommend to people.
It is. It really is.
It's by process of elimination. But, like... I recommend the promo. Like, I recommend the promo realistically, but if I have to recommend a match, it's this one, even though it's a waste of... This is also a waste of... Honestly, all these matches are kind of a waste of time. Sid had an absolutely unspectacular in-ring career, but somehow was in so many key moments.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of insane...
Of these matches that we're covering, this is the best rated Sid match.
That does not surprise me.
Guess its rating from Big Daddy Dave Meltzer.
Is it like a... Oh, it's a star rating, right?
Star rating, yeah.
Fucking 3?
3.75. It's a little high. It's a little high for what we actually get.
I thought 3 was a little high, if I'm being honest with you.
I think it's good. I think the match itself is good if you like the Big E school of wrestling dream matches, which is big beefy men slap meat. You know what I mean? Like, if that's where you like, then this is your shit.
Look, Sting starts off using his speed to his advantage, and he just starts slamming Sid by the face all over the place. Sid ends up hitting a choke slam out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Sid is called the man who rules the world at some point, but I think it's Ventura that's on commentary.
Yep.
Who says it. And I was like so confused. I was like, why is he the man who rules the world? He's not the world champion. He didn't win. He's not king of the world. Like, they don't have a king of the world tournament in WCW. Why is Sid the man who rules the world? What is going on?
He just is. That's just his fun nickname.
Davey gets bitched out by the heels, who then starts celebrating, only for Sting to get up to the top rope with Davey, and then they hit the clunkiest looking flying clotheslines you'll see.
Yeah, it's the double clothesline from behind, which was not bad. They get hit with the double rope, top rope clotheslines. Bulldog and Vader end up in the match after. Vader is throwing some of the nastiest looking haymakers and forearms I've ever seen.
Yeah, those are legit, brother. I can tell you that. Those
Vader's
are legit.
Causing havoc.
Vader's causing CTE, too.
Yeah, you're probably right.
These motherfuckers throwing haymakers. These are some big guys, man. Sting is the smallest dude in this match.
Yeah.
Build-wise, not height-wise. I think Davey's actually the smallest height-wise.
Yeah. Vader at one point says, "Don't mess with me. You do not have to tell me twice, Vader. I will not mess with you."
He starts chatting like he's goddamn Kevin Owens mid-match.
That's true, yeah. Was Vader the most impressive person in this match?
Oh, absolutely. No, Vader's not even close to me. Yeah. Vader is absolutely... Vader, did we do a two-parter on Vader, or did Vader only get the one shot? Vader's going to get a second part thrown at him at some point in the annals of time when we... get to it eventually, but
yeah,
fuck me, Vader is really fucking good, man. And he's one of those guys too who's in a lot of other people's episodes.
Yeah, that's something I've kind of noticed, is like those guys who show up in a lot of other people's episodes. The obviously, like, there's the obvious ones, like if anyone had a feud with Cena,
John Cena
or Rock or Austin or Michaels, like, you know, those types of guys, Flair. But there's also like lower card guys who show up in a lot of people's matches where it's like the Steiners, Vader. Yeah. Sting's not a lower card guy, but Sting shows up in a lot of other people's stuff.
It's like we have our S tier guys, you know, your literal, like, if you were the start of company, these are probably the pool of people you're picking from. And then there's like the A-tier guys who are, you know, former world champions, bona fide Hall of Famers, stuff like that. You know, your Vaders, your guy, your you know, guys like that. He's just so good. And I think the thing that makes him pop up in so many other people's episodes is the fact that he's really the monster heel, like champion or whatever the heck. And, you know, especially if it's like a smaller competitor, or a competitor who's like half his size, which most people tend to be. It's you know, he's such a good worker that it makes sense that he would give people some of their best matches, because the stories you can build around him being the monster heel are just those are the ones that tend to be better than just like, you know, those guys against like fucking Davey Boy Smith or some shit like that, you know. No Sid, shot at Davey Boy, but you know,
Sid in this match is okay. I don't think he's bad. Like I said, like he
I think he plays his part.
Yeah. I think Sid should have been a tag guy. I think Sid would have been the lead tag guy. Hot, like, develop your hot tag a little bit. Be the guy to come in and clear house. Get paired with a small guy. Like, you're telling me Sid and 1-2-3 Kid wouldn't have been a hit?
Sid, you know what I mean? As Diesel would have killed it.
You know what? You're right. Sid would have been just fine in the Diesel role.
Give him, tell him to start using a jackknife power bomb instead of just a regular power bomb.
I want to talk about what I think was the most impressive physical display we see this whole episode. Davey Boy does a delayed vertical suplex on Vader.
Well, Davey Boy is also built like a literal barrel. So.
A barrel. Wade barrel. Barrel barrage.
It's Davey Barrel Smith.
Vader gets hit with that suplex and then does a splash as Davey Boy runs at him and just fucking bowls him over. It's incredible.
Yeah. Vader does an elbow drop straight to the leg. At one point, Vader rips his mask off and squares up with Sting, which allows Davey to get a single leg takedown on him. That goes absolutely fucking nowhere. It's basically like if this is an MMA fight, this is the type of takedown that fans are like, we should not count that towards their scoring in this fight, because that literally did fuck all.
You know what's crazy? I'm looking through the rest of my notes. Sid is in my notes twice for the rest of the match.
And I have a couple.
They dominate. They pick on each of these guys for a while individually. So give me your best Sid moments for the rest of the match.
Well, Sid does a double axe handle off the middle rope. He does a trap hold. Davey hits a scoop slam. This match is so fucking disorganized, by the way. It kind of gets hard to tell what the fuck is going on and who's supposed to be in the ring.
Is Sid a trap queen? Watch her hit the bando. I think he might be. I think so.
Do I need to walk out again? Have it said.
I'm trying to make it so I have to heroically finish a broadcast on my own.
Do I need to walk out again? What day? I'm just gonna leave. No warning. I'm just gonna close out. You're gonna be like, what the fuck happened? Vader accidentally hits Harley Race off the apron when Davey Boy moves out of the way of his fat man attack.
Because Harley Race and Colonel Parker are out here as the managers for the Masters of the Powerbomb.
Yeah, because apparently they need to. I don't know why, but they need to. Sting has, quite frankly, one of the worst hot tags. It's easily the worst hot tag of 2023 that we've done so far.
Drop kicks. Lots of drop
kicks. It's not good. It's just not good. It's punches. It's a drop kick. It's a bunch of bullshit. Sid selling in this match, especially in the back half, was excellent. At one point here, he's not even in the match. Like he's just on he still has to tag in, and he goes to fuck with Sting a little bit, and he gets in the middle part of the apron, and Sting gets him caught up with like as he's entering. Sting gets him caught up with a bunch of punches and you know the Sting punches, the back punch, the back fist punch, and the chops and all that jazz. He gets him caught up with that, and my man just starts teetering. Like he goes, he's like his lower half is in the ring and he's like leaning back, kind of sitting on the middle rope, which is honestly kind of impressive considering how tall he is. And, you know, he's just like kind of teetering as Sting does work on Vader or shows out or whatever the hell he does. He's teetering and him Sting comes and hits him and my man falls out of the thing. And I was like, this is honestly might be the best selling he's done or anyone does in any of these matches.
It's also the only selling we really see Sid do through all of these matches. He's never.
But I see the potential. I see the vision. I have a vision and I see it.
Can we get to the end here?
Amazing clothesline by Vader, which some could maybe consider it a lariat. I won't, but it's a clothesline that looks real nice. All right, as far as Sid notes go, he has some pretty slow, like clubbing blows, like the bottom little fist stuff. He does some kicks to the ribs. He misses an elbow drop, which allows Davey to get a hot tag, which is fine, but it gets cut short by a big boot. From Sid to the gut. Vader hits a Samoan drop. We get a Vader bomb, but Sting breaks it up. And then Sid and Sting go out to the ramp area and they start fighting. You can kind of see it in the back. You can see it in the background as they're, because they're like filming it in a way that you can see both duos fighting. You see Sting gets the upper hand on Sid, tosses him off the ramp. Vader hits a moonsault that looks fucking amazing. Sid
looks fantastic.
Sid does like kind of like a suicide dive, but back into the ring, and breaks up that pin. And then Davey somehow recovers so quickly from a 400-pound man doing a fucking moonsault on him, to get a crucifix. 1, 2, 3, the superpowers win.
It takes him a long time to pull down Vader for the crucifix. It takes him a really long time, as it should.
This
match is fine. It's fine. It's not that bad, but it's the best you're going to get this week. Hey, do you remember why Sid got canned from WCW this run? Do you remember why?
I don't know. Did he say something racist?
Oh, no, my brother. Let me tell you a story. This is courtesy of the Sports Term, literally word for word. I've stolen it from them. So the year was 1993, and there were two men involved in a bloody melee, and it was Sid Vicious and Arn Anderson.
Oh, this is right. The scissors.
This is the scissors. After a wrestling show in Blackburn, England, Anderson and Sid, along with a couple other wrestlers, went to a bar. At that time, WCW was not doing particularly well in terms of finances, and the wrestlers themselves were not making decent money. So the conversation between the group shifted to money woes and the company not drawing good numbers, and somebody brought up Ric Flair. And Sid lashed out at Flair and basically said he was the problem in the company because he was making good money. Anderson, who was obviously boys with Flair, took offense and the two got in an argument. Eventually, Sid threw a beer bottle, and that was the cue for everyone to leave. Because they were like, it's going to escalate, everybody dip out. Sid dismantled a chair, went to go visit Arn's hotel room, and after faking a handshake, smashed the leg of the chair over Anderson's head, leading to a brawl that spilled outside the room. Anderson attempted to stab Sid with a pair of scissors. The two wrestlers tussled for them, and Sid eventually snatched them, stabbing Anderson around 20 times, spilling an absurd amount of blood. According to, and I fucking love that this is the eyewitness, according to Two Cold Scorpio, the entire place was stained with blood, and Sid was kicking Anderson in the face and stabbing him. Scorpio rushed in and broke up the fight, noticing that Arn was in much worse condition than his foe. Sid was fired. Anderson received a suspension. After the incident, Sid admitted that he apologized to Arn Anderson, and they are currently on good terms with one another. How do you end up on good terms once again after being stabbed 20 times?
I don't know, the man was drunk, maybe. Maybe he lets Arn like shoot him with his Glock.
It was the 90s. Anyways, we're going to take a break. Obviously, Sid left WCW. You can guess where he's going back to. We're back to Sid and WWF after the break. Back from the break, at the previous pay-per-view, WrestleMania 11, the actual Diesel, not the pretend Diesel that we wish Sid was, you know, Kevin Nash, defeated Shawn Michaels to retain the WWF Championship, partly due to interference from Michaels' new bodyguard, Sid, backfiring. The following night, Michaels stated that for a potential rematch, he would give Sid the night off, causing the bodyguard to turn on Michaels by powerbombing him 3 times. Diesel came out to help Michaels, so that kind of turned Michaels' face. And we get In Your House 1, aka In Your House Premiere, where it's going to be Sid challenging Diesel for the WWF title. But we're not worried about the match here. No. we're worried about what is weirdly the most famous Sid promo of all time, and it's because he fucked it up. We're looking at the We're Live Pal promo. I've seen this before, but only the exact moment. I had no context of what was going on around it. What about you?
Yeah, I had no idea what the context was around it, but I knew what this was.
So we're at In Your House, and Sid is being interviewed. He has DiBiase as his manager, because if you're a bad guy, you immediately get Ted DiBiase as your manager in WWF. That's just the way it works.
You come in, you get Ted, maybe Heenan.
Ted is like the Clippy of heel managers. He's just like, I see that you're trying to be a bad guy in the WWF. Would you like some help with that? Jim Ross is interviewing them, and he asks DiBiase if he's obsessed with gaining the WWF title. DiBiase says, yeah, because it's money and leverage.
And he always likes to have the upper hand.
We got a weird fucking close-up of Sid's face. God.
Brother, it gets like an inch away from his nose.
Sid is asked, we all know you can bring the heavy offense, but you can't take it. What do you say to those who say that you can't take the heavy offense?
Well, the skeptics are the septics. And all the people that have a little bit. Let me do this again.
We're live, pal.
I'm sorry. Anybody that has any doubt will get their answer tonight.
I didn't realize how quickly he recovers after he says he's told that they're live. I will give him credit for that. He immediately is told we're live, pal, and goes, anybody who has doubts is going to get their answer tonight. He pivots. Sid should be applauded for this.
Yeah, I would fuck it completely. I'd have been like, shut the cameras off and we're done.
I would have been like, I want to go die in a hole now. Like, he did it.
I'm going to go do the lucha thing.
Good lucha things. Woo! Sid lost the match by DQ when Tatanka attacked Diesel. I am now just saying facts from Sid's career, and it's making Javier want to leave so badly.
I'm at the point where I don't even know if any of this is real. You could be telling me straight up lies. This could be something straight out of your universe mode, for all I know. Like, what is going on?
I would love a universe mode where Sid is just champion for 5 years.
I mean, you could do it.
It's true. Sid is the leader of the new bloodline. That's great. We are looking at our last match. The one that Javier, I think, is most mad about. It is absolutely. In Your House 2. So the next In Your House, in between the two In Your House shows, was King of the Ring. And we get a lumberjack match where Sid is challenging Diesel for the WWF Championship. Sean is back with Diesel for this match. They're high-fiving all the babyface lumberjacks. And I started counting. I'm like, how many of these lumberjacks have we covered? What do you think the number is of lumberjacks that are out there that we've covered before?
Oh, my God. Let me think. Like, have their own episodes, right?
Have their own episode, yep.
Is it like six?
It's eight. Oh. Hardcore Holly, Shawn yes. Michaels, Tatanka, Bam Bam Bigelow, Scott Hall, Triple H, Mabel, and Phineas Godwin, a.k.a. Midian.
Oh, I didn't see Triple H or the Godwins.
Yeah, they don't really get involved in much, but they are out there.
Shout out Mabel, by the way. Shout you kind Mabel. Of skipped over the fact that the King of the Ring was the pay-per-view between this and the previous one. And you know who won the King of the Ring that year, Evan?
King Mabel.
Thank you very much. My first note is, I thought we were friends, Evan. Why are you giving me Sid versus Diesel in the mid-90s? Also, you know what might be my second favorite part? Not even might be. You know what is my second favorite part of this match? The entirety what? Of this match? During the entrance that he makes, Kevin Nash daps up Bob Holly. Like, this isn't a handshake. This isn't a high five. My man full on, hey, brother, what's up? Daps him up. It was a full on dap up. One, you know, Kevin Nash, he was a bodyguard, a security guard over in Detroit. I can understand that he's with the shits. He knows how to dap somebody up. But Bob Holly, that shit was clean too.
If you're mad about the match, just be happy that I didn't put in this match. I went to Sid's Pro Fight DB page, which spoilers is what we use for a lot of picking the matches, making sure we get all the important things. He has a negative 4-star rated match.
Oh, who's that against?
The Night Stalker?
The Night Stalker. First off, I wish you would put this now. I want to see a negative 4-star match. Of course I want to see that. At least I know what I'm going into.
The Night Stalker, if you're curious, is Brian Clark, a.k.a. Adam Bomb.
Adam Bomb. Oh, my God.
So, like I said, this is a lumberjack match, so there's going to be a lot of lumberjack-related content here. Diesel tosses Sid to the outside, slamming him. Sid slides to the heel side to get a breather. He's consoled by, like, Mabel and Mo. They're like, hey, man, it's okay. Don't worry. You got this.
Yeah, you guys are good. We're good here.
Mabel has a world championship match coming against whoever wins this match, and he's still like, no, Sid, you're good. Don't worry about it, man.
IRS tells him to take his time.
IRS seems like a very measured individual.
Well, you know, IRS.
Also, it's tax season. If you haven't done them already, go do your taxes.
Yeah, that was my life advice like a month ago. What are you people doing? Sid dumps Diesel out on the heel side, and they just start stomping him out.
They are whooping his ass.
Which leads to Shawn Michaels diving off the top rope onto all of them.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Sid with some shots to the ribs of Diesel, clothesline. He puts Diesel in the middle of the ropes and lets the heels beat on him from the outside.
So, did I see King Kong Bundy? Was that King Kong Bundy or was that Bastion Booger? I don't know which one's which, but what the one that looks like a penis, is that which one is that?
King Kong Bundy. It's definitely King Kong Bundy, and I feel bad. He looks like the thumb people from fucking Spy Kids.
No, man. No, he doesn't. You know what he looks like? He looks like in those like 2000s like superhero kind of, whether it was kids movie or just like epic movie kind of ones, there's always one person who's like just disgust, like their whole like superpower is just disgusting. Like maybe they're like grotesque. Like they have acid vomit, or they could like consume a lot of things and it makes them like super strong or whatever. That is what that individual looks like. He looks like the actor who plays the fucking gross person in those campy superhero movies.
Yeah, that's actually pretty good. You nailed the description. I didn't know where you were going. You got there.
Sid puts Diesel on the bottom rope, like you mentioned. The heels attack him. We get a clothesline by Diesel and an elbow drop, and then another one. And then Diesel, out of nowhere, just dives over the top rope like he's Roman Reigns onto all of the heels.
It looks fucking identical to Roman Reigns, except it's not nearly as graceful.
Honestly, I kind of respect it, though, because he like took two steps, maybe, and then jumped over the top rope. Look, man, Kevin Nash is 7 feet tall.
Yeah,
like that's not easy for him to have done. Also, then, he's white. They don't jump very high.
Sid runs into the turnbuckle. Diesel's running the ropes, and he gets his foot caught by our boy Mabel. King Mabel's yep. like, nope, just grabs his foot. Mabel grabs Diesel, slams him on the outside, runs him into the ring post, plus a big leg drop, because they need to set up Mabel versus Diesel for SummerSlam, which is so bad.
We've covered it on this podcast.
I don't think we have really given enough focus on how fucking bad 1994 WWF is. It's
95. 94, 95.
What the fuck ever? It's
95.
You know, it's so bad, man.
You know, I will say, for those who haven't seen it, our 100th episode, I believe it was. Was that the Mabel episode? Episode 100.
Episode 100 was the, wasn't that the draft? We did a special episode.
I was up there in Canada, and we did the Mabel episode. Go listen to that one; it's a hoot.
No, the 100th episode was just the 100th episode spectacular. We just talked about favorite matches and favorite wrestlers and things like that.
Shout out to us. Shout out to me for not remembering any of this stuff. Yeah, so he fucks up Diesel, as he should, and he's allowed to do so because it's a lumberjack match. He then smacks the shit out of Diesel before rolling him back into the ring. And instead of pinning him, Sid decides, I'm going to wear this motherfucker down a little bit more.
Yep.
Because that's what you do. He ends up hitting a big boot for a near fall. He hits a power bomb. And then he
hits a power bomb, and then Selly is like, it's the end of the world. He's giving high fives at ringside. He's kissing babies.
My brother thinks he won the MVP.
And then he only gets a two count when he pins him because, yeah, you waste all that fucking time showboating.
He goes for a second power bomb. Diesel ends up hitting a back body drop. Sid immediately goes out on the babyface side for absolutely no reason at all and starts brawling with the jobbers before a show. Because, yeah, that's just, there's no better way, better or easier way of putting it than he started brawling with jobbers before Sean comes off the top rope with a double axe handle and throws him back into the ring.
Yeah. What a time to be alive.
Diesel has to like fight the heels off that keep coming into the ring at a certain point here. And then the finish comes. Sid comes back into the ring. Diesel like squares up, like they have a little jockeying before eventually Diesel just hits a big boot. 1, 2, 3. Diesel retains his title.
Inexplicably, next week we are covering more Sid. I was just looking through and I'm like, wow, some of the guys and teams that have only had one episode, like, you know, we probably could do a second episode on Mickey James, Trish Stratus, Eddie Guerrero, Randy Savage, Vader, you know, Rob Van Dam. Yeah. Lots of people who could probably have a second episode. But next week, more Sid, including, more Sid, but not limited to, him breaking his leg in one of the worst. And I think Javi and I just reached a point where we're like, what's the most like masochistic thing we could do to ourselves? And the answer was 2 straight weeks of Sid matches. And I think this is my favorite part, is in other years, we've planned for certain episodes to be around WrestleMania. Like Batista was getting we're like, let's have Batista around WrestleMania season. Like, that's good. So we've had some other ones that have been around WrestleMania. And this year, it's like, fuck it. Sid is our lead into WrestleMania.
Oh, Sid, yeah.
A man who inexplicably has 2 WrestleMania main events.
Hell yeah.
Oh, my
we're
God.
We're all about prestige, and we're all about the history. And you know what, man? This guy's a 2-time main eventer of the show of shows. So you know what? He gets to get his flowers.
Did anything in this episode change your opinion of what you thought Sid was like in his career?
No, realistically, it kind of lowered it.
What I thought I knew.
I was completely indifferent to Sid. I like was like, oh, he has a pretty cool look. I don't know. He's like just a guy who was around the main event scene for like most of the 90s, you know. I don't really remember his work all that much, so maybe it wasn't great, but you know, maybe he, I don't know, could pull off a good match with someone if he's put in there with someone who could have a good match. And you know what? We didn't get it this week, but here's to next week, Evan.
One of our matches next week takes place on Thunder in the year 2000. So it's not going great. If you enjoyed our dissection of Sid's first half of his career and that time he tried to murder Arn Anderson, then you should come back next week. You should also follow us on social media. Javier, where can people find you there?
I'm on the Twitter machine at JMelloSports. Sauce me a follow. It's in the bio of the main podcast.
Follow me as well at it's Evan Gomes, at TSEVANGOMES. Follow the podcast, most importantly, on Twitter and Instagram at Crossbody of Work. Go to FullPressWrestling.com to watch all of this week's matches. Again, our suggestion this week is the Beach Blast match. I believe that one is only on Peacock. We couldn't find an actual link for it. So if you have Peacock or some sort of WWE Network equivalent, that's your best way to go and watch that one. If you had to watch one of the other ones, don't. That's probably the suggestion.
Don't watch any of these. Don't watch any of these. Watch the promo. Watch the promo.
Watch the promo. Give yourself a good giggle. Go to fullpressshop.com. Cop the merch. Support the boys. Wherever you're listening, be sure to rate 5 stars. If you haven't before, it helps us out tremendously. It could be on the Spotify app. It could be on the iTunes app. Wherever you're listening, rate 5 stars. Subscribe and tell a friend. There's no surprise about what we're doing next week. Sid breaks his leg. He has a match on Thunder. We're looking at the WrestleMania 13 main event as well. Javier, mercifully, give these people some life advice. Do you have any last words for the people?
This week on Life Advice with Javier, have people over your place. You know, like this past weekend.
Have friends. All right, see ya. Yeah,
have friends over to your place. No, it's like, look, you know, I obviously have my many subsets of friends, my multiple groups that are sectioned, as probably most people do, who are, you know, there are obviously varying levels of closeness, but and interaction and stuff. But you do have your different groups of friends who may or may not be interconnected. Who knows? But you know, I had some friends for college over this past weekend to just watch a Formula One race and like hang out, go play some soccer and stuff like that. And it was nice. I had a really good time. And you know, it was the first time I really had any friends over to like check out my apartment since I moved here. And you know, I had my dad come yesterday as of time of recording. That was pretty cool. You know, just getting to hang out, just go and hang, you know, if you have your own place, like an apartment or whatever, whether you have roommates or not, that's, you know, obviously situations vary. Just invite your friends over. Even if you guys have been talking about it for a long time, just pull the trigger on it. Just do it. Have your friends over. Do some. WrestleMania's around the corner.
Yeah.
Have a little WrestleMania watch party. You're all into wrestling, I assume. If not, and you're just a Sid person, okay. Have people over and watch Sid matches. Just, you know, invite some people over, you know, enjoy some time with your friends. It's always worth it. And especially if it's people that you're really close with, it's never going to be a bad time.
Have all your favorite Sid matches playing on a loop and bring your friends over. Call it a Sid-sation. We're back next week feeling the Sid-sation. I hope it gets better, but I'm realistic that it probably won't. Thank you very much for listening. Like I said, go follow us, go rate, go subscribe. We thank you so much for joining us as we cover some weird times in wrestling. We're live, pal. We'll talk to you next week.
We're live, pal.